بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله, it's wonderful to be back home. Although, of course, the cities of Mecca and Medina are not those that anyone would want to leave. But nonetheless, alhamdulillah, it's great to be back. And I'd like to thank all of you for your support and your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and allow us all to go there again and again, inshallah. Speaking of the trip, you know, we all know and understand the importance of passports. Right. So, for example, before the trip, when we had to send our passports in for visas, I don't think anyone sent their passports in through regular mail, right? Because we know that they're very valuable documents, right? They're documents that we consider to be very, very important. So we make sure that we use courier, right? Express Post, FedEx, whatever it is, to send it in so that there's some measure of security, because we don't trust the regular mail, and we are afraid that, you know, our passports might get lost and we'll have to deal with all the issues that come after that. And so it's one of those documents where, you know, that we want to make sure we always know where it is. So coming out of the airport in Jeddah, so we get processed, and when you're coming out, there's these young fellows there, right? Which don't really look like, you know, they're actually officials. But nonetheless, they're taking everyone's passport away, right, as soon as you come out. So for Hajj, it's normal to have your passports taken for the duration of the whole trip. But for Umrah, you normally get it back. So when we're coming out and our passports are being taken away, everyone's a little apprehensive about giving their passports up. And you know, you're looking at the guy a couple of times, making sure he knows what he's doing, right? You don't want to lose track of him, lose sight of him, because he has your passport, your most valuable travel document. Naturally, you know, people were quite concerned when their passports were taken. And but nonetheless, you know, after about 20 minutes, half an hour or so, we got them back, alhamdulillah. But the cause for concern was the fact that we really didn't trust the person who was taking our passports from us. We didn't know who he was, we didn't know why he was taking our passport, we didn't know what he was going to do with our passport, and so on and so forth. So there was no trust. Just one example. That's just one example. But the fact of the matter is that trust is a very important factor in our daily lives, right? So when we open our refrigerator and we take out milk or other food that we're going to consume, we trust that it has been produced and packaged properly, safely, and that we're not going to get sick when we consume that food. When we take our car to a mechanic, we want to take it to a mechanic whom we trust, so that we know that, you know, he's not going to do, you know, make up any extra frivolous repairs or charges more than he should. When we put our money in the bank, we have a pretty, you know, stable banking system in Canada, but we want to trust our bank account and our bank, and we trust that when we deposit a check or an amount into our bank machine, into the bank account, we will get it back when we need it. We trust our family members on a daily basis. We trust our teachers when we leave our children with them, and so on and so on. We could go on and on. To trust basically means to have assured confidence. To have assured confidence in someone or something, in many different ways, right? So when you trust someone, you have confidence in them in different ways. So you might have confidence in them that they're not going to harm you, or you have confidence that they are going to honor their word. They will do what they have said they will do as promised, or that they are capable of doing what they have promised. They have the ability to do that, and that they're being truthful. So all of these things, and many more, have to do with the concept of trust. Now, of course, we all know to be trustworthy is a very important Islamic value. So it was quite saddening, I must say, and concerning as well, to see the results of a recent survey, which was in the news a couple of days ago, that more than half of Canadians, so 52% of Canadians, believe that Muslims, Canadian Muslims, can't be trusted. Now, granted, this wasn't, you know, a survey of all Canadians, so it was just over 1,500 people. But it suggests that generally the population in this country, the majority, slight majority, feels that Muslims cannot be trusted. And what was even somewhat more troubling was that nearly just as many, so about 48%, believe that discrimination against Muslims is, quote unquote, mainly their fault. So if you're being discriminated against, they actually feel that it's justified, and that discrimination is justified because we deserve it for some reason. Now, there, of course, you know, there could be a number of scenarios that could lead to this type of result. So perhaps, possibly, maybe Muslims generally are of bad character nowadays, right? Maybe our character is not good. Maybe we don't behave in a trustworthy manner. That's one possibility. It's also possible that there are mainly Muslims who are good, but they are people who hate Islam, who hate Muslims, and they are spreading false stereotypes. So this is also a possibility. And thirdly, there's also the possibility that there are some Muslims who are not behaving in a trustworthy manner, whose character is not good, and therefore that is giving all Muslims a bad name. But whatever the case may be, and we can't really know for sure, as individuals, when we come across something like this, we have to think, okay, what can I do about this? Right? You have to see, what can I do? How can I make a difference? How does this affect me? And it always starts with me. How can I improve? So before, you know, I talk about everyone else, or I blame others for, you know, spreading hate against us and so on, which may be the case, but we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, what can we do first? What can I, as an individual, do first to improve myself? Now, of course, we know that being trustworthy is an integral part of our faith and our religion. Though sometimes you may not realize how important it actually is. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith, "Al-mu'minu man aminahu an-nas 'ala amwalihim wa anfusihim." That a believer is one in whom people place their trust in regard to their life and their wealth. Such should be the character of a believer, right? A believer is one in whom people place their trust with regard to their wealth and their life. Prophet ﷺ also said, and this is very profound, "La imana liman la amanata lahu. La imana liman la amanata lahu wa la deena liman la ahda lahu." That the man has no faith who cannot keep a trust. Prophet ﷺ is saying that the man who cannot keep trust has no faith. La imana. وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ. And a man who does not respect his promises has no religion. So this tells us that being trustworthy, being able to have the ability to keep a trust, to keep a promise, this is an integral part of our faith and of our religion, of our belief and our religion. And when we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, of course we find numerous examples of his excellence of character, especially when it came to truthfulness and trustworthiness. So for example, during the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ asked for the keys to the Kaaba. So the Kaaba even now has keys, right, to open the store. So the Prophet ﷺ asked for the keys, and these keys were kept by a caretaker of the Kaaba by the name of Uthman bin Talha bin Abi Talha. So Uthman bin Talha bin Abi Talha was a caretaker of the Kaaba, and he had the keys to the Kaaba. So the Prophet ﷺ asked for the keys, yet he opened the door and he went inside and he cleaned the Kaaba out. And it is said that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu rose to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was holding the keys to the Kaaba. And of course, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu, and who wouldn't? Of course, everyone wanted to have the honor of having access to the key, to have access to the Kaaba, to take care of the Kaaba, to serve its, you know, to serve its needs, and to serve the people who come for Hajj, who come for Umrah, to, you know, give them water and so on. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Ya Rasulullah, you know, assign the duties of taking care of the Kaaba and the responsibility of providing water to the pilgrims to us." Right? You have the key now. We have, you know, we have control over the Kaaba now in the city of Mecca. So, you know, assign this duty to us, because we want to be the ones who, you know, who are doing this noble work. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Where is Uthman bin Talha?" And he asked for the person he had borrowed the key from first. And he continued on to him and he said that, "Here is the key for you, for today is a day of goodness and a day for me to fulfill my promise." Right? So even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had control, right, he could have kept the key. And of course, Ali radiallahu anhu wanted that as well, because, you know, this was a great honor. But still, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something of, you know, that is an example of his excellent character, and that is that he gave the key back to Uthman bin Talha, even though he was just a caretaker of the Kaaba. And according to another narration, it is said that when handing over the keys, he said, "Take this key for life. It will not be confiscated from you except by an oppressor. Verily, Allah has placed this trust upon us, and eat from what you get from this house of Allah in goodness." So he returned the key to the caretaker. Even till today, the key is still held by the same family. Right? So even today, after 1400 odd years, the key to the Kaaba is still kept by the same family. And afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then read this verse, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha." Surely Allah commands you to make over trust to their owners. "Wa idha hakamtum bayna an-nasi an tahkumu bil-'adl. Inna Allah ni'ma ya'idukum bih. Inna Allah kana samian basira." And that when you judge between people, you judge with them in justice. Verily Allah admonishes you with what is excellent. Indeed, Allah is all-seeing and all-hearing. And it is said that this verse was actually revealed at that time. When the Prophet ﷺ was emigrating from Mecca to Medina, right, and he had left, again, Ali radiallahu anhu in his place, and had left him, you know, with instructions. And what instructions did he leave him with? To return the deposits and the trust, even though they belong to the mushrikun, right? Even though they belong to people who were not favorable or who might have been enemies. But still, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while leaving, did not leave in such a way that he would betray the trust and the deposits of people. Rather, he made sure that Ali radiallahu anhu, right, returned everything to their rightful owners on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that there was nothing left behind, and that no one could say, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not take him to account for things that he did not return. And that is why, because of this character, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the title of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, right? The truthful and the trustworthy. And if we think about it, really, these two qualities, truthfulness and trustworthiness, are essential to successful da'wah, are essential to successful outreach and education of our friends and our neighbors, right? Because if we are teaching someone, right, we are trying to reach out to someone, but if there's no trust in between us, right, if a person does not trust what we are saying, does not trust our character, right, is hesitant and reluctant to trust us, then we have a big barrier in between us, right? And that's why when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, before the call to Islam, before the call to the da'wah to invite people towards Islam, these two qualities were present, right? To be truthful and to be trustworthy. And even when we read of the prophets, the other prophets of the past, that's what we read, right? In the Quran, what do they say? Inni lakum rasulun amin, right? The same quality comes up, the quality of trustworthiness. So if there's no trust, it's not possible, or at the very least, it's very, very difficult to be able to communicate in a way that a person can have an impression on someone else, a positive impression on someone else, right? Which is essential for da'wah, for outreach, for education. So as mentioned, trust is a part of our daily life, and trustworthiness, of course, is a quality we should all possess. One basic way of applying that is, of course, to be honest and to return the trust, for example, to the rightful owners. If someone asks us to hold something for them, we return it. If we borrow something, we return it, and so on. We don't take anything which is not ours. But the concept goes much, much further. The concept of trustworthiness, of being Amin, goes much, much further. And the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ emphasize or highlight certain interactions, certain relationships that have an emphasis, a special emphasis on trust. So for example, the Prophet ﷺ tells us about the relationship between neighbors. The relationship between neighbors, the person who lives beside you, the person who is, you know, who is in the cubicle next to you, the person who sits next to you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi la yu'minu, wallahi la yu'minu, wallahi la yu'minu. Right? By Allah he is not a believer. By Allah he is not a believer. By Allah he is not a believer. So it was said to him, Waman ya Rasulullah? Right? Who are you talking about, Ya Rasulullah? Who is not a believer? So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ taken aback, right? Because you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, he's not a believer, he's not a believer, he's not a believer. So everyone wants to know, okay, who is this person that he's talking about? Because we don't want to be this person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَلَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارَهُ بِوَائِقَهُ. That one whose neighbor does not feel safe from his evil. One whose neighbor does not feel safe from his evil. So we see, even between neighbors, right, with our next door neighbor, or the people in our neighborhood, there should be a relationship of trust. So that it shouldn't be that, okay, you know, people on the street, they see a Muslim family moves in, they're like, oh no, alright, what's going to happen? We don't know what these people are like. Oh, it should be that when people see that a Muslim has moved onto the block, right, onto the street, then they have comfort in knowing that, okay, we're going to be safe. Right, we're not going to have any trouble. Right, we're not going to have, you know, late night parties and noise. We're not going to have, you know, children causing trouble. Right, we're not going to have parking problems during parties, things like that. Right, so they know, and they have the confidence in knowing that there's not going to be any trouble because of a Muslim coming into their neighborhood. Even gatherings and meetings, right? So a lot of times we are present in a particular conversation, we are present in a meeting, and we don't think much of what we have heard, right? We take it, we talk about it, we gossip about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ بِالْحَدِيثِ ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةٌ. That when a person speaks, then turns, that speech becomes an amana. This is very profound. That when a person speaks, and then he turns, or he turns to leave, that speech becomes a trust. There's a famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ as well, that al-majalisu bil-amana, the gatherings are an amana, are a trust. Except for three. So for those for the purpose of shedding blood unlawfully, those for committing fornication, or those for acquiring property unjustly. So what that indicates is that if there's something being planned which is illegal, which is unlawful, then one can take a step to get it to stop by telling others. However, otherwise, right, any meeting, any conversation we have, it is actually a type of trust. Whether or not a person tells us, okay, don't tell anyone. Right? We talked about this before. So somebody says, okay, well, you know, don't tell anyone, and we listen. And then we go around and we say, okay, well, you know, you start having a little tickle, right, inside your stomach. And you feel like, okay, I have this inkling, you know, I need to tell someone. So then you go and you say, okay, I have a secret, but I'm not supposed to tell anyone. So a person says, okay, well, then why are you telling me? Well, I say, okay. But, you know, actually, okay, you know what, I'll just tell you. I'll just share it with you, but make sure you don't tell anyone else. Right? And then everyone starts doing that. Next thing you know, the whole community knows about the secret. Right, so that's not how it should be, right? So when we hear something, whether someone tells us that it's a secret or not, right, we should try to keep it on the down low, unless, you know, we actually need to communicate it to others. We actually, there's some benefit in telling others, or you know, if it's nothing bad in particular, but still generally, al-majalisu bil amana. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that when a person speaks, or when we are in a gathering, whatever we hear, it should be kept as a trust. The relationship between spouses. right? This is very, very serious. The relationship between spouses is a relationship that should be based upon trust. And the worst thing that a person can do, right, is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes. Inna min a'zami al-amanati 'inda Allah yawm al-qiyamah ar-rajul yufdi ila imra'atihi wa tufdi ilayhi thumma yanshuru sirraha. One of the greatest trusts, meaning the trust that can be betrayed before Allah on the day of resurrection, will be a man who was intimate with his wife and she with him, then he spread her secret. Right? This is a very bad habit that sometimes we find people indulged in, that they start sharing the secrets that are meant to be kept between the spouses. Right? So again, we see that this is a relationship which should be based upon trustworthiness, and there should be secrecy and trust between husband and wife. So these are a few that the Prophet ﷺ points out, but generally the scholars say that the concept of trust, amana, extends to many, many things, right? So our obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a type of trust that Allah has placed upon us, right? So the things we are required to do in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our obligations towards others, these are also a type of trust. Our children, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with children. These children are a trust from Allah. The wealth that Allah has given us, right? The wealth, of course, has come through our efforts, but has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us sometimes with wealth, sometimes by taking away wealth. So wealth in itself is another form of trust from Allah, to see that how do we use it? You know, are we using it appropriately? Are we giving it to those who deserve it? And so on. Our positions, right? Our positions that we get. You know, so we are having our elections, right, coming up this Sunday. I don't mean to scare people from running for these posts, because we certainly need people to take part. But that is also a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or any position for that matter, right? Whether we are at work or anywhere else. The responsibilities which are put upon us, that are part of our job description, right? Those are also a trust. Our health, our bodies, again, a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we use it appropriately and we take good care of it. When it comes to our trust, to trust in our relationships with one another, it's, what's the saying, right? Our trust is hard to gain, easy to lose, right? A person can work very, very hard, can work, you know, for a very long time to build trust. And you see this with politicians, for example, right, many times. That, you know, someone will have a good reputation, they've worked very hard for the community, they've worked for a long time, and then something happens, right? They make one slip, one small mistake, and the trust is gone. It's blown. So trust is very hard to gain, yet very easy to lose. Some essentials, right? These are basics which everyone should be applying anyway. But nonetheless, here are a few essentials that can help us build relationships based on trust. So first of all, keep your word, right? We all know this. Keep your word, but don't make promises that you cannot keep, right? A lot of times we feel obliged, and you know, we're in situations where we want to impress someone or we really want to help someone, and we make a promise, but then we're not able to keep our promises, right? So keep your word and don't make promises which you cannot keep. Right, it's better to under-promise and then over-deliver, as opposed to over-promising and then under-delivering. Right, so try to promise and make as few commitments as possible, and then try your best. And if you're able to deliver on more of them, then that's good. Right, but if you're going to make a lot of promises and then you're not able to deliver, then that's the first missing piece in building trustworthiness. Never lie, right? We know this again. These are basics, but guess what? We do this all the time, right? Human beings will make these mistakes all the time, right? The easiest way to lose someone's trust is to lie and then to get caught in that lie. And then what happens if you get caught in a lie? We usually have to end up, right? We usually have to make up another lie to cover for that lie. And then the web of lies gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until all of it is blown, right? And then your credibility, your trust is totally toast. Be transparent, right? Be transparent, be sincere, be yourself, right? A lot of times we try to be We try to be someone who we are not. A lot of times, we try to be someone who we are not. Right? So, for example, I have this thing where I can't use big words. You know how in speeches and talks, you know, people consider it good to use very, you know, nice, fancy language. I can't do that. Right? So I don't try to do it. Because I know that if I try to do it, I'm going to come across as being very fake, right? Very insincere, right? So what do? I'll do exactly what I'm doing right now, right? Use very casual, right? Simple language, because that's how I am, right? So try to be what you are and reflect exactly what you are. When you don't know something, you just say, I say, I don't know. I'll look into it, inshallah. Have a strong sense of integrity, right? So you want to act fairly. So when you're judging between people, these are all basic Islamic concepts, right? You want to act fairly. You want to act upon moral and ethical principles, not just your self-interest, right? So if somebody comes at work for help who, you know, you have a bit of a competitive relationship with, right, who is perhaps trying to get your position or you're trying to get the same promotion, things like that, you want to work. It's a natural tendency to respond in a way that serves our self-interest, but we want to respond in a way which is fair and which is based upon moral and ethical principles. We want to be good to others, right? Help others achieve their goals, right? Whatever Allah has destined for you, whatever position and wealth and things that Allah has destined for you, you will get them, inshallah, right? Be good to others. Help others achieve their goals. If someone is trying to be successful, if someone is working hard, we try to help them as well. Treat everyone fairly, equally, and with respect, right? A lot of times, we come across someone and we think, well, okay, you know, someone who's in a lower position than I am, or, you know, in some ways, I am better, I am more superior. No, we want to try to treat each other with equal respect, with fairness, and properly. And when we do something, or when we are asked to do something, we want to try to do it as well as possible. Right? Don't put in a 50% effort. If you're going to do something, if we take upon a commitment, or if you're given a task, you want to try to do it as best as possible. Give it your full. Right? Give it your best effort. And if you do that, then inshallah you'll see that people will start having trust in you. So these are just a few essentials, a few basics. Like I said, most of them are from, you know, Islamic principles, which we know, right? We hear of, we know, but unfortunately, we are human beings, so we find ourselves lacking in many ways. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me, first of all, to become a person who is trustworthy, and who fulfills his trust. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all this ability to really reflect all the teachings, especially when it comes to our character, right, that Islam has taught us, right? We know these things, but a lot of times, unfortunately, it doesn't reflect in our actions. Small things, right? Small things are the ones that add up, right? Especially when it comes to our interactions with our friends and our neighbors, right, who are not Muslims. We do small things. We do small things which are annoying. We do small things which are wrong, right? But they add up. And then we wonder, okay, why do people don't, you know, how come people don't trust us? Or how come people think negatively about us, right? Our goal, of course, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our goal is to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that properly, and if you do that sincerely, then inshallah, it will automatically have an impression on others as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me and help all of us in this. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين